Okay, today's May 9th, and we're up to Shavuos. Okay, so the first thing that hits you when you look at the list of... You need these pages, but a full Tanakh also.
Do you have a Tanakh?
You know what, maybe what we have on these pages might be enough for us. Hold on to the full Tanakh in case you need it. Okay, the first thing that hits you when you read about Shavuos in the Torah is that the Torah doesn't give a date for Shavuos. Every other holiday has a date. Okay, there are still some other issues regarding some of the other holidays.
Are you recording?
That was interesting. Oh, I got a stupid question. What happened? The noise? I can't tell where it comes from.
Okay, so the holidays are mentioned in five different places in the Torah. Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Kisisa are very similar in nature. In Sefer Shmos, the reasons for keeping the holidays agricultural is the word I'm looking for. They're not historical. This one's on. They're not historical. Sukkot is only called the holiday of ingathering. Shavuos is only called the holiday of the harvest, the grain harvest. And Pesach is very well established by Sefer Shmos as a holiday. We already, you don't need Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Kisisa to tell you what Pesach is about. I have Parshas Bo, we'll soak him there. So, plus, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not mentioned at all in Sefer Shmos. Okay. So what's the agenda of the reference to the holidays in Sefer Shmos? Is to let this very newly freed people who just received a divine revelation, so let them know that there are pilgrimages. It does say that I expect you to come to a specific central place on these dates. But there's at this early time, now remember the difference between Shmos and the third place that refers to the holidays, which is in Parshas Emor, is a short period of time. It's less than a year. Okay, but in Vayikra, we're going to get the full scope of what these holidays are about and everything regarding the observance of these holidays. In fact, in Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Kisisa, the Torah never tells you what even to do on these holidays. It just says that there's three dates where you come to see me, and these are holidays. It's simple. Shmos's agenda is actually to tell these newly freed people that I have expectations of you. I reveal the law to you. You have civil law in Parshas Mishpatim, and I want you to build me a Mishkan. Mm-hmm. We're not getting sidetracked with holidays there. After the Mishkan is completed, and we have a consecration of the Mishkan, and I teach you some laws of holiness, now we're ready for me to tell you what all those holidays are about. So here, the holidays are defined. We're told what to do on those holidays, what mitzvahs we keep on those holidays. Right? We hear about two new holidays, two in the seventh month, right? And the holidays are dated, right? In Shmos, they're not dated, they're just saying. There's a Chag HaAsif, there's an ingathering holiday, there's a harvest holiday, right? Mm-hmm. So in Vayikra, we have a new system. It's a full range makes up a whole Yom Tov laning by itself, three times a year, as opposed to the Shmos references, which is only Chol HaMoed Pesach, which is to make up three aliyahs out of those lanings. They're much shorter in nature, and again, they're agricultural. Vayikra starts to turn them to historical. Tells you what happened on these days. for all of them except Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is, just tells you the date. It doesn't tell you what that holiday is. It just says that it's a day of blowing a blast. It's a Yom Teruah. Right? Yom Kippur is not so advanced in Parshas Emor either, but I don't need it to be. I have Parshas Acharemos that tells me what Yom Kippur is. Mm-hmm. Okay? But I may digress since we're talking holidays, but I did this back in September, October, is that in Parshas Acharemos, there's one significant difference that deserves to be darshaned in order to understand the nature of the day, is that in Parshas Acharemos, we're told that Yom Kippur is masculine, Yom HaKippurim Hu. And in Parshas Emor, it's Yom HaKippurim He. So the question of whether Yom Kippur is a boy or a girl is something we can ask about Shabbos also.
Right.
Because, right, so well, that's weeks, that Pasuk is weeks. The word week also, by the way, goes masculine and feminine in the Tanakh. But Shabbos is sometimes Shabbos who, and sometimes Shabbos he.
Who is
Michalaleha? Michalaleha. Michalaleha mos yumas. Michalaleha. Right? Shomer Shabbos Michalalo. Shabbos more often goes feminine in the Tanakh, but significant amount of times, enough times that we have to reconcile it, goes masculine in Tanakh. Why is this? So if Soloveitchik explained that there is a feminine and masculine component to the holidays, and regardless of whether this is politically correct in the 21st century to discuss, he says that the feminine aspect of a holiday is its aesthetic aspect that touches us, that moves us, that gets us to be more spiritual in nature. The mathematical, and again, you could get fired from the presidency of Harvard over this, but the mathematical, the masculine side is a more mathematical side that is interested in shiurim, and in dry halacha, what are the 39 halachos, what are the things we don't do, what's the fasting, what's the shiur, if I'm allowed to eat, do I have to, measure out? You know, these are mathematical sides of the holiday as opposed to the aesthetic side of the holiday, which is to turn Shabbos into such a beautiful day that you can't wait till the next one. Right? So there are both sides of each of the holiday, and the 2 days of the year that are most given to such a difference will be Yom Kippur and Shabbos. Right? The other holidays are mostly aesthetic in nature. Right? That's the nature of them. They're Yom Tovim, where you can cook and you can... I don't mean to say that their cooking is the purview of only women by that, but it means that you can do things that you can't do on Shabbos to make it a more spiritually gratifying day, right? So anyway, Shabbos has both aspects, as does Yom Kippur. But now back to Parshas Emor, is that Shavuos is mentioned there with a reference to Pesach. So here's where you are. So you look at source number one. Right. Okay, so all you have is Chag HaMatzos Tishmor Shivas Yomim, and it tells you Toch HaMatzos Kasher Tzvisicha L'Moed Chodesh Aviv Kivo Yetzos Mitzrayim V'Lo Yupanai Reikam. All right, it just says to eat matzos. It doesn't say not to eat chametz. That's not the agenda of Parshas Mishpatim. You know that from Bo already. And it just says, look how short the reference is to the other Chag HaKatzir Bikurei Maasecha. This pasuk is important, though, for us to understand why the seventh month is called Rosh Hashanah. Make up your mind. Is it the seventh month or is it the first month? B'tzeis Hashanah implies that when this harvest comes to, this gathering comes in September in Israel, the year is ending. It's a new year. Okay, how can you have two New Years? Very simple. One is an historical event to commemorate the redemption from Egypt when we became a nation. So that the months go by Tzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. But as far as the years go, the Shemitah is not going to start in September. In April, it's going to start in September. It's Rosh Hashanah time. Right, the first mission of Maseches Rosh Hashanah clears out all these things. Right? Now, source number two is the Parshas Kisisa reference, which is even more concise, right? Says, it starts off by saying, Eschag HaMatzos Tishmo Shivas Yamim, right? Mm-hmm. And then it interrupts with a law about firstborn, mm-hmm. right? And then it interrupts further with a law about Shemitah. At least that's how Rabbi Akiva understands it. And then it tells you about Shavuos Taselacha Bikurei Ketzir Chitim V'chag HaSif Tkufas HaShana. Wow, four words. Okay. Very little about it. It doesn't tell you when to observe these days. It doesn't tell you what they're about. It just says an agricultural message. Okay. So in Sefer, in Parshas Emor, you have the full reference with dates, with events. Again, the only one that's not given an event is Rosh Hashanah. That's the nature of Rosh Hashanah. It's Bakesel Leyom Chageinu. The moon isn't to be seen, and the nature of the day is meant to be hidden. Why the nature of the day is meant to be hidden is in itself requires quite a bit of drash, but if you go back to the tape that we did the very first week of this series back in September, we spent much of the day doing that. Mm-hmm.
But you could say that you know it's Rosh Hashanah for the agricultural year if Shavuos is the end of the agricultural year.
Sukkot comes to the year. Yeah, in Hanami. Yeah. Okay. All right, so that's about it. Now, I did not put down Vayikra on this list because it's too mm-hmm. long, but I also didn't put down Bamidbar. Bamidbar also has a list of the holidays, mm-hmm. but that is simply connected to the sacrifices. It just tells you what sacrifices do you bring on these holidays. Mm-hmm. Simple. It doesn't really bear on us. It doesn't tell you too many details about those holidays besides the which sacrifices you're supposed to bring. Why? Why is it there?
Because they're going into Eretz Israel, and that's when they're going to start okay. the offerings.
So good. That is why, I'll explain two things with that. Vera explained what's happening after the Korbanot, and that's a good place to put it. Right? Moshe's just told them, you're about to die, Moshe, we're going in. From then to the end of the Torah is just about a month. Mm-hmm. 36 days to be exact. Because it says the date. It says Rosh Chodesh Shvat. And he died on the 7th of Adar. So this will explain what for us, look, we are, you know, if we're learning, if we consider ourselves Orthodox, and this is an Orthodox shul, we should be teaching classes in an Orthodox shul with true doctrine. It is our doctrine that Devarim is the same author as Shmos, and that if Yikra makes reference to Yom Kippur and Devarim doesn't, that's not a sign that Devarim doesn't know about Yom Kippur, but Devarim either felt it didn't have to, or didn't want to mention Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay, now let's explain why, in light of what you just said, is that Devarim has an agenda, no doubt. There could be a few agendas, but its main agenda is you're about to go into the land. You've just spent 39 years and 11 months in a place where you should never have been in the first place. You should have gone right in. But here we are, we're about to go into the land. Let's learn lessons. Bless you, let's learn the lessons that kept you in the desert. Let's not repeat those things. And many of the mitzvahs that are repeated, the way they're repeated, many of the mitzvahs that are not mentioned at all, because Korbanot is not mentioned at all, right? In terms of the order. There's some Korbanot that is certainly mentioned. It says on Pesach, bring a Korban. But be it as it may, Devarim is all about the centralization of the people in their land, and especially in the Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shaken Shmo Sham. The place that I will choose for you, I want you to turn their eyes to that place and go there often. Not just for three times a year pilgrimage, I want you to go there to eat your Maser Sheni, I want you to go there to eat your Netar Ravai, I want you to go there to eat your Kerem Ravai, I want you to go there to fulfill all kinds of mitzvahs. It's meant to fortify the economy of that place. You have to take your fruits there, and if you think the trip is too long and your fruits will spoil, good. Sell your fruits where you are.
Bring the money.
Bring the money and buy fruits in Jerusalem. That's great for the economy of Jerusalem too. It's good for commerce. The more that money goes through more hands, right? This is why the word for money changer and grosser, chenvani, shulchani, have the word chen. It makes, commerce makes for good neighbors. Very much, by the way, unlike Socrates, Aristotle, the early thinkers, considered that this money changing would lead to avarice and the like. It's true, it could. So the Torah has to warn us not to charge interest, not to collect too much, not to accumulate too much, let your land lie fallow, keep Shabbos every week, and be
honest with the right
measures. Right? Weight measures, be vatranut. Someone who's not charging interest is not going to steal. Right? So the law is set up in a particular way to assure that we would go to this central place often. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not pilgrimage holidays. They do not need to be mentioned. Okay? For that reason, Shmini Atzeres is also not mentioned in the Devarim. Because you're already there. Okay? And Devarim hints at this, by the way, because it says after the first day of Pesach, it says, well, look at it. Let's look at it. If you look at it, says it number 3, you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it says that after you come to Pesach, to the central place for Pesach, look at Pasuk Zion. Right? It says, after you observe this festival, it says, Ufanisa ba'boker v'halachta ala ohalecha. What's that doing there? In the morning, you could turn away from Jerusalem and go back home to where you live, Beersheba and Dan and Haifa. Right? Well, do I need a pasuk in the Torah to tell me I can go home? If I wanted to move to Yerushalayim, I'd not live in Yerushalayim. I'm in Shevet Naphtali, and my land was given up in the north, and that's where I live. What are you telling me? I can go home. Right? Mm. The point is that there's no such pasuk by Sukkos. Because in Sukkos, you're not going home after the beginning of the Chag.
No,
you're staying for the whole day, all the days. Okay? On Pesach, you can also stay for the Atzeres of Pesach, but that would mean staying for 50 days. Right? Sukkos' Atzeres is during the week. Why are you going to go home to Haifa and then come back down? It takes you 4, 5, 6 days to get down from where you live in the first place. You might as well stay here. Because the end of the holiday, which is a new regel, Shmini Atzeres is another holiday. So it's very interesting. I want to tell you a very interesting minhag of our shul, and this is just an offshoot of Shavuos being the Atzeres of Pesach. Shmini Atzeres is the Atzeres of Sukkos. So the minhag of most shuls is that on Shmini Atzeres, you lane a much longer laning than normal. Usually, you start with Kol HaBachor on the second day of Shavuos and the eighth day of Pesach. Israel, of course, never has this laning, right? But in Chutz La'aretz, we read Kol HaBachor. It's the shortest yontif for Shabbos laning of the year. It only has altogether 21, 22 pesukim. But, and the minhag is that when those days fall on Shabbos, right, the second day of Shavuos can't fall on Shabbos, but the eighth day of Pesach can fall on the Shabbos. So when that happens, you have to read from Aser to Aser, because you can't get 7 aliyahs out of Kol HaBachor. You can get 5 aliyahs out of Kol HaBachor, but you're not getting 7. So everybody lanes from Aser to Aser when that happens. The prevailing minhag, if he's about Koreir or something, the prevailing minhag is that on Shmini Atzeres, you also read Aser to Aser, even if it falls during the week. You with me? It's not our minhag here. We read Kol HaBachor, unless Shmini Atzeres is on Shabbos, which it can be. If Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, Shmini Atzeres will be on Shabbos. But if we read Kol HaBachor on every other day of Shmini Atzeres on Shabbos, and I always, the Baal Kori says, I don't get it. Every shul I've ever lain that, we lain Aser to Aser. First of all, why? Because Shmini Atzeres is the Onas Masros. Since it's Chag HaAsif, this is where Masros are mostly given out. Right? You don't want to hold on to your Tevel for too long. You want to tithe it right away. So since Shmini Atzeres is the time of tithing, let's read the laning that starts with tithing. Beautiful, nice idea. Oyev Tzedek doesn't like the minhag. Why? Because, first of all, the minhag is never mentioned in the Gemara. It's a minhag that's only a few hundred years old. More important is that the reason for this is because they feel that since this lane that's in front of us here doesn't mention Shmini Atzeres, how can I be satisfied with just laning this lady? I have to go back to Aser and willy-nilly get some kind of reference to Shmini Atzeres by mentioning the tithes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But that custom fails to recognize the Gemara in the Seches Pesachim that says that if you look at when it says on Chaga Sukkos, right, and it says at the end of Pasuk Tezvav, it says Shivas Yomim Techok LaHashem Alkecha V'Makom Asher Yibchar Hashem Ki Yibrachecha Hashem Alkecha V'Chol Tvoascha V'Chol Maaseh Yadecha V'Hayisa Ach Sameach. You should only be happy, right? So the Gemara Pesachim makes a drash V'Hayisa Ach Sameach L'Rabos Shmini Atzeres. So according to the Gemara, there is a hint to Shmini Atzeres in this landing. I'm going to have to go back to Aser to Aser. I have a drasha in the Gemara.
Mm.
Aser to Aser connected to Shmini Atzeres is not a drasha in the Gemara. That's just someone 300 years ago who said, hey, let's get some kind of hint to Shmini Atzeres in the landing. Because the landing should always mention that the holiday. Eli Mikrei Kodesh, or Shiyakuyos of Mo'adam. On the holiday, the mitzvah is to read about the holiday. Right? So how can I have Shmini Atzeres without even mentioning the holiday? So Aser to Aser, I say, according to this Gemara, but Yisach Sameach is Shmini Atzeres. Question is, asks the Vilna Gaon, how is Yisach Sameach a ribuy of Shmini Atzeres when usually Ach is
a limitation?
It's a miut, not a ribuy. Right? You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Ach comes to delimit something,
mm-hmm.
not to add something. It would have to be Yisach Gam Sameach, Yisach. S, I don't know. Yeah. But Ach V'Rak are limitations. Gam and S are additions. So what's going on here? So the Vilna Gaon says something exegetically sound to fit this in. You know? I mean, Pshat even. Of course, whatever the Vilna Gaon says is sound. But point is that all the days of all the holidays have some aspect to it unique to that holiday. You know, Kippur has fasting. Pesach has matzah and chametz, and Sukkot has dal minim in the Sukkah. Rosh Hashanah has shofar. Even Shavuos has something unique. The Shtei Halechem is a special korban that's brought on Shavuos.
That's
for the chametz, which we have certain minhagim about how to eat dinner on the night of Shavuos, right? But Shmini Atzeres has nothing. But since it's a yontif, it does have something. That's all it has.
Simcha.
So you get it? On what's the only day of the calendar where we can say V'ayisa Ach Sameach? You get it? Ach. Only. Limitation. You're limited to Simcha. Shmini Atzeres. Now I understand the drash. It's the only limitation that reads like a ribuy. Right? You get it? Okay, so that's Shmini Atzeres. So the Atzeres of the holidays, they don't really have their own. You know, there's no Hilchos Shmini Atzeres, and it's just that you say Mashiach Ruach HaMenegeshem. There's certainly no Hilchos Shavuos. There's no laws of Shavuos. Only the Shulchan Aruch just has one small little sif that talks about what you lane on Shavuos, Torah reading and Haftorah reading. But there's no special laws of Shavuos beyond the laws of Yontif. Right? So here is what I'm presenting to you is that because Pesach can be commemorated. We can commemorate redemption. We can commemorate the continuation of that redemption in the protection of God. The Rav Shimshon Frohl Hirsch says in Parshas Emor, the size of the moon on those two holidays is indicative of God's full hashkacha over us in our redemption and protection. The moon is full. On Shavuos, the moon is practically half. Half, you get it? So, because Shavuos is a partnership, God gives us the Torah, now it's Lo B'Shamayim here, it's ours, the Darshan now. Right? So, and on Rosh Hashanah, the moon is hidden because we have turned away from God, now we have to try to return and move back towards Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Okay, so that is the reason for Shavuos is the lack of date. Is that Shavuos is timeless? It's Asher Nochim Etzavcha Hayom Al Levavecha. Every day is Shavuos, and I mentioned this past Shabbos, just in passing, is that Pesach and Sukkot are mentioned often in Tanakh. The idea of God's redemptive protection and protective redemption is mentioned by every Navi practically. But Matan Torah is hardly ever accessed by the prophets. They knew the danger of another nation saying that the Torah has been superseded, there's only one Matan Torah. There could be 50 Yetzias Mitzrayims. And there could be one of them, the last one, which will even eclipse the original one. Mm. Who's the Navi that says that? This is what Ben Zoma tells the Chachamim at the end of the first parak in Brachas when he says the Chachamim say Yimei Chayecha Olam Hazeh, Kol Yimei Chayecha Lavi Mos Mashiach. Ben Zoma says no, Yetzias Mitzrayim will not be as it is now. Yetzias Mitzrayim. There will be other holidays that will eclipse Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not that Yetzias Mitzrayim will be forgotten, but they will be eclipsed. It will be much greater. We paskel like Ben Zoma. How do I know? Because we do say Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. We say the third parsha of Shema. We say the Emunah Gozalos. We do mention Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos. Right? This explains, according to Rav Moshe of Soloveitchik, why the Rambam kept Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim out of his Minyan HaMitzvahs. Because he writes in the Shorash Gimel that I only count 613 mitzvahs that will not change at all when Mashiach comes. Apparently, according to the Rambam, this will change. Because if you paskin that Yetzias Mitzrayim is at night, then you also paskin that Yetzias Mitzrayim is not the same and you're also Mashiach. It's a machlokas after all. Right? It's a Nagada, you know. It's actually a Mishnah first, at the end of the first parak in Brachas. Okay, so what are the names that the Torah gives to Shavuos? We call Chag HaBikurim, it's called Chag HaKotzir, Shavuos, it's called Atzeres. Right? There are a lot of different opinions of why they're called Atzeres. I have to tell you, to say it means La'atzor Mimalacha does not quite cut it. Because in all the holidays.
For every holiday, it should
be Atzeres. La'atzor means to stop. Ze ya'atzor ba'ami. Remember who that was said about? Ze ya'atzor ba'ami. He said about Shaul HaMelech when he became king. So, but Atzeres is more like Atzeret Bogdim. That's Yirmiyahu, who was also the author of the previous Nevuah about the Yetzias Mitzrayim being eclipsed. Atzeret Bogdim means a gathering of treacherous people. And Atzeres is a gathering. Okay, but then why is Shavuos and Shmini Atzeres more of a gathering than any other holiday? So, because it means that you're gathering again, it's a consummation of a period of time. Pesach leading to Shavuos, freedom to what you're doing with that freedom, animal to human, free to really free. Because if you leave the subservience of Paro to be subservient to your own desires, then you just took another slavery to another king. Mm-hmm. Right? Ein lecha ben chorin, you know what Elohim said the Torah for that reason. Right? Now on Sukkot, there's also an atzeres. You're building to something, but the Torah mercifully allowed that building to just take place in 7 days because what's upon us.
The rains.
You can't expect people to stick around too long. The rains are coming. You have to get back home. The roads are going to be muddied. Right? So we let the culmination of Sukkot. Now, I we did this also back in October, in November, if you get the notes, or listen, it's online, is what is the culmination? I know what the culmination of freedom of Pesach moves to. I just was describing. That's what the shir is about. But the culmination of Sukkos, of the protection, moves to what? There are a lot of different opinions of that. Mm. Whether Sukkos represents the 70 nations, and Shmini Atzeres is just, you know, the Segula, different opinions of what Shmini Atzeres does to Sukkos. Okay, so now, where did we get that Shavuos is Zman Matan Torasenu? Chag HaBikurim, I get. Bikurim are brought no earlier than Shavuos. If they're brought before Sukkos, then you can bring the fruits and make the declaration, which begins with the words Arami Oved Aviv Ayered Mitzrayim, what we say in the Haggadah. The reason why we say that is to express the fact that our gratitude goes to you, God, not only because you took us out of Egypt, but for a bunch of other things, including taking us to the land, which we'll say later in Haggadah Dayenu. So, so I understand Chag HaBikurim. If you bring it after Sukkot, you can still bring it, but you don't get to say Arami Oved Aviv. Mm-hmm. You can still bring it until Hanukkah. After Hanukkah, all bets are off for everything. You can't bring it, you can't say anything. So it's a reference of only one of four places in the whole Mishnah that mentions the Hanukkah, Maseches Bikurim. So I understand that. Chag HaKotzir I get also. That's the harvest of the wheat now. You harvested barley already before. Mm-hmm. You better harvest barley before Pesach, otherwise you don't have a Minchas Omer to bring. And you don't have a heter of the old grain, the new grain that now becomes old grain. And if they see that barley is really very immature, they'll add another month.
Because it always has to be
an
Aviv.
It has to be an Aviv. So you're not going to, we can manipulate the calendar that way. Right. Okay. So that's Chag HaKotzir, right? Atzeres. Okay. It's the Atzeres of Pesach. We discussed that. It's culmination. Right. Where did Zman Matan Torasenu come in? Who says that? Is that in the Torah?
You have to go to Parshas Yisro and count.
Right. Parshas Yisro. It's very, very, very clear there. So why not say so? Because that's the hidden nature. Torah is for us to darshan. That's the view. That's what that's my 6-week series in this term is all about. This is that the Torah is purposely written in a way that that assures that we will get involved and use oral traditions to understand what are the totafot that's supposed to go between our eyes, and it's not even between our eyes; it's up here, right? Mm-hmm. What is v'zavachta kasher tzivisicha? How the shechita is so complicated, and the Torah doesn't tell us a speck of how to do it. What makes something chametz? Right? I mean, without an oral tradition, I'm lost. Mamash lost. To the point that the Karaites are really lost. No, they admit that they're lost. They only have 200 or so mitzvahs.
How many?
200 or so. And each Karaite community could be different than the other. So it's really a balagan. So Karaites are the Jews who don't accept an oral tradition.
Did they think they're lost?
They admit that they don't like that we gave the perushim that we gave. They think that we have changed too much.
Like Karaite communities
that's a discussion.
Today.
If they have different do they agree with each other? I mean, if they have different practices.
They have different Karaites have look. Jews have that too, but
yeah, that's true.
And there's no focus.
Different customs, but theirs can really vary.
They think theirs is right, and the other. Yeah.
So, but for instance, they understand lo sevashel gdi b'chalevi mo to mean do not allow fruits to ripen on the tree and fall to the Mother Earth, pick them and give them as bikurim before that happens. Mm. They don't have a rule of milk and meat. They say lo sevashel means ripen, bishul peros. Gedi means a fruit, imo means mother earth, chelev is like chelev chitim, you know. Because to them it's a din of bikurim, because the pasuk starts with bikurim. Being an observant Karaite is much harder than an observant Jew. Their laws of tumah and tahara are draconian. What the Gemara says the Kohen is supposed to do at the time of the Regolim is for all Jews all the time. By the way, that seems to be the Peshat of the end of Parshas Tzav and parts of Parshas Shmini.
Do they do Kolban Pesach?
They don't. Some of them, the Samaritans, that bring Korban Pesach.
They still do Korban Pesach?
Yeah. And it's mashma that the people writing the Dead Sea Scrolls were that genre. Ah. Well, we don't call them Karaites back then, but it may make us have to evaluate what the original meaning of the word Pharisees was. You say in Hebrew, Perushim. What have you been taught it means?
Explanation. Okay.
Well, that's that's what I'm suggesting here. But the traditional interpretation,
meaning,
the traditional interpretation of Pharisees is Parush Mituma.
Ah,
separated. Mm-hmm. Perushim. Ah. They separated themselves from. Now it's true that an observant Pharisee will be much more separated from Tuma than a non-observant Sadducee, right? But an observant Sadducee, Tzaduki, if he's observant to his law, and the Karaite law, I don't have any Tzaduki texts, but I have plenty of Karaite texts. Yeah, but all their law codes are available to us.
Where did you?
Yes, I do, and there's a book written. There's a book written by someone named Naftali Weider called Karaism and the Judean Scrolls,
where
it goes straight through, and it's the same halachic philosophy, which is you would determine the law based on what you can get from the biblical text itself, and do not appeal to anything outside the biblical text. Nevi'im Miksuvim is possible too.
Oh, okay.
Right. So before the almost time to stop, but I would like to give one or two examples of this. And
so, like, what do they do for an etrog?
They do not take a citron. They take what they feel is a much more beautiful fruit. Now, today there could be some Karaite communities that have just assimilated and started to, you know, they want to keep rules, and they, you know, but they sit in a dark house on Shabbos,
right,
and they don't eat hot food.
The Ethiopians Karaites in Ethiopia.
Right.
And the hospital gave them like hot food on Shabbos. What happened here?
They thought it wasn't kosher because it was hot. And they couldn't believe that the hospital had lights on. And they thought it was already. It's not a non-observant Jewish hospital. But they left the lights on from before, they said, because they were used to sitting in the dark.
Part of why they need a lot of, like, have them convert? Because they live like Karaites? So they're like unsure.
The reason for converting them was because they didn't have a mechanism for gittin.
Ah.
And if you have no mechanism for gittin for 2,000 years, then everybody in that community is a mamzer.
Oh gosh.
Allah.
So coming, how can you even
better
convert?
That they're not better to convert them, because a convert is the thing is mamzeris. So that was a psak. But there were other piskei halacha back from the 15th century, because they were aware of them. It was in the, they appeared the first time in the 12th century.
They appeared where?
In halachic literature.
They were aware.
Black Jews of South Africa.
They like were
Ethiopia.
Aware of these communities, and they reached out to ask questions.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes. So the Red Baz in the 15th century said, if they're gittin, they didn't have gittin, well, the Kedushin is not Kedushin either.
Uh-huh.
That's a half answer. That's not that. Anyway, this interpretation of Harushim that you both just gave was actually, according to some modern scholars, a derogatory terminology ascribed to the Perushim by the Tzedukim, saying, you give Perush. The Torah says to start counting the Omer of the first Saturday night after Pesach, and you say the night after Pesach. It says, Mimachar Asa Shabbos. Usually when the Talmud raises that issue, the Talmud tells the differences between the Perushim and Tzedukim, usually they say, hey, they sound to be more right. Why aren't we as careful as they are? Right? So, you know, the Talmud gives its answers, but I'm just saying that it's really, it's a misnomer. I think it's correct that it's a misnomer to say we're Pharisees because we were Parush Mituma, because the Tzedukim were, and whoever's writing the Dead Sea Scrolls, because we have their letters. We have their letters that they sent to Jerusalem about how lenient we are in Jerusalem with the Tuma laws. And that's why we escaped to go to the desert, because we can't live amongst you. You people are too impure.
Not really.
Right? They're only there for a few years. Hmm. Right? Okay, so now I would like to leave you with a surprise.
Ooh.
The surprise is that while Farah just said that Parshas Yisro teaches us, you know, how to learn Torah is to work with the Torah. Right, the Torah, once I've tried to convince you that the reason why the Torah doesn't give a date for Shavuos is because it's so tied into Pesach that it doesn't matter what the date is. It's 50 days later. Now, the date will change depending on how many days are in Iyar and Nisan, right? Mm-hmm. Every month can have 29 or 30 days.
Right, even the date is different, but still 50 days.
The date will be different, but it will always be 50 days.
Right, right.
There's an old German Siddha, I don't recall the name. It has a table. It starts that Pesach has to fall in the springtime, and if you know the first day of Pesach, you know the first day of every Yom Tov.
Yes, yes. Rashi mentions this.
Then it puts what day it could possibly fall on.
Yes, but today the dates are fixed. The amount of days in each month is fixed, at least for Nisan and Iyar. It's not fixed for Cheshvan and Kislev. Those months can sometimes have both 29, sometimes both 30, sometimes 129, 130.
Nisan and Iyar
never changed for 1,500 years. So that's why Shavuos always falls on the same day of the month.
But instead you just add another Adar if you did.
Yes, that can happen, but Adar doesn't fall between Pesach and Shavuos.
Right, it's before.
So Shavuos doesn't have a date because it's crucial that it's connected to Pesach. And the drash I started with, it's timeless. There's no date you can put to Shavuos. It is a timeless holiday because the Torah is not to be given to any specificity. That's why the prophets avoided referring to it, etc. However, there's this amazing prophecy. This is the surprise. A story in Divrei Hayamim. Right? Let's read it. It's on my page. This is what I want you to have. It's not. I didn't realize I actually put it on the page. It says, "Vayikavtzu Yerushalayim b'chodesh hashlishi." The Jews gathered to Jerusalem in the third month.
So we're counting from Nisan?
Third month is Sivan, no doubt. The Shnas Hamesh Yisrael Malchus Asa, the 15th year of Asa's reign. V'yizbechu Hashem b'yom ahu min hashalol heviu bakor shva meos v'tzon shiva salafim. Mm-hmm. They just had a very successful battle with the help of God. Afterwards, Asa messed up because he was fighting in the next battle and he asked for help from foreign nations. Mm. And Hashem said, where am I? What am I? Mashed potatoes all of a sudden? You relied on me before. Why aren't you relying on me now? All right, so, b'brisli droshes Hashem elokei avoseihem b'chol levavam uv'chol nafsham. They enter the covenant to seek out God, because before Asa, who were the kings? They're just, well, there's Rechavam and his son Nadav, right? So, and they were bad kings. They allowed terrible idolatrous trespasses to exist in Yehuda. Forget about what's going on up north with Yerovam and his son Avia and his son, and then he was killed by Baasha. So there's this bad stuff.
What is it?
It's someone's flower.
Next door. So there's some bad stuff going on, and Asa was a very good king, brought about great reforms until he messed up. Right? It says even Asa's mother was an idolater. He had to take away her idolatry.
Oh, wow.
It was very bad. It means that the wife of the previous king is his mother, right? Okay. V'chol asher lo yidrosh l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, you must. He put to death anybody. He put the fear of God in people.
Wow.
L'min katon v'ad gadol l'me'ish v'ad isha. From the small to the great, to the men to women. V'yishavu l'Hashem b'kol gadol v'isrua v'chatzotzros v'shofaros. And they all took oaths to God with great shofaros and great trumpets. V'yismechu kol Yehuda l'ashvua. And they were very happy because of the oath. B'chol levavam nishba'u. B'chol ritzonam bikshu. V'yimatzei lahem. V'yanach Hashem lahem misaviv. They all took an oath upon themselves in the third month. Mm. Now, I'm not here to tell you that the etymology of the word for this holiday we're about to celebrate has to do with anything but weeks. But perhaps you have heard of this saying that asks this question. Can a Nazir drink wine for Kiddush on Shabbos? What do you think the answer should be? You know what a nazir does, right?
Mm-hmm.
A nazir takes an oath not to 30-day oath not to drink wine, not to cut his hair or her hair, and not to become death defiled, right? Can a nazir, a week after becoming a nazir, drink wine on the Shabbos? Now, we all know that there's another way out from Kiddush. A nazir is allowed to drink...
Challah.
Let them make Kiddush on challah. Right? And you can make Kiddush on, at least on Shabbos afternoon, on Shnaps.
Right.
Which a nazir is allowed to have, by the way. At least midoraisa.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. When it says Yayin B'Sheikhar, it means wine good. And old wine. And the Gemara at least says this. But anyway, there is a drasha in the Mechilta that says, Zachoris Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, how do you help remember things? What do the Jews do when they want to remember a commemorative day of the Pidyon HaBen, a bris, a wedding?
You always sanctify everything with wine.
Sanctify with wine. So there's a Mechilta that says, Zachoris Yom HaShabbos, Zachrehu al hayayin b'chnisoso uv'yitziyoso. Remember Shabbos with wine when it comes in and when it goes out. So that sounds like a Doraisa. Sounds like a Drasha Midoraisa. This is how we fulfill Zachor. That's the partnership we said before. The Torah says Zachor. The Gemara, the Medrash says how. And that becomes a Torah law. I'll give you the best example of this. The Torah says Ve'ini semes nafsho seichem. The Gemara says how. Here's a perfect example of the difference between the Karaites. You know what Karaites do in Yom Kippur? They bleed. They hit. They belt. They like the Shiites with their rocks.
Be nisem.
You know what I'm saying? That's why. By the way, this shows how far back this opinion goes. Yeshayahu says in the Torah of Yom Kippur, "Why are you afflicting yourselves? Why are you beating yourselves? Why are you wearing sackcloth? The day this is not a day. It's really." He probably said this on Yom Kippur. This is not a day for this. This is the Halo Zetzon of Chorehu. Pros l'ra'ev lach mecha. The fast I want is, and he says, and free the slaves. Apparently they weren't observing Yovel. Right? So you see that people always felt, v'nisim es nafsho seichem. Everyone has their own opinion. What's your inui? Everyone make yourself a real inui. They didn't sleep on Yom Kippur. Go 25 hours without sleeping. You'll have real inui.
Wow.
It didn't. They the mamish, they would slap each other hard to keep them up. No, don't fall asleep. It's Yom Kippur. No sleeping. So what do we need? We need a Gemara. We need an oral tradition that tells us how to do v'nisem b'shev al taseh. Don't eat and don't drink. Shine. So maybe the same for Zachor. Zachor Shem Shabbos Akansha. So remember the Gemara in Daf Dal in Maseches Nazir asks this question. It says, can a nazir drink wine for Kiddush? Instead of saying, come on, he has an option with challah. No, it says, so the nusach, the Rebbeinu Tam of the Gemara is, v'chimush bava omid mehar Sinai hu? Did he ever take an oath at Mount Sinai to drink wine? In other words, drinking wine for Kiddush, although it looks like a drasha, is an asmachta. It's not a true drasha. It's a horis from Shabbos, alayayin, b'chnisos v'tzios, or is it just a drasha? It's not a real... Not just a stama drasha. How do you do v'nisem b'shev al taseh? Don't eat, don't drink. That's a real doraisa. That's how the Gemara says how we should understand what the Torah means by v'nisem. So by saying this lashon, you've heard of it before, that when we stood at Mount Sinai, we took an oath.
Mushpa
v'omed mehar Sinai. Right? It's a Masech HaShavuos, which coincidentally has 49 pages in it. It's 49 dafim. You can only
That's cool.
Read another daf every day of the Omer, which I do with doing this year with Soto. Soto also has 49 dafim. So that's another connection to Shavuos. It's a day of oaths. Okay. All right. So that'll close us out for Shavuos. Next month, beautifully, the day of our Shir, which I think is scheduled for...
Yeah, the dates
June 13th.
Yeah,
the
June
dates
13th.
Keep changing.
Yeah,
it's scheduled at the beginning of the year. Yeah. I thought it was graduated.
I only saw
semester.
Yesterday. That's nice. Yeah. So. Only last night I saw it here. So.
Thank you, Beth. What did you think?
Maurice.
Maurice.
Nice to meet you.
So,
can I keep it?
June 13th is Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah.
June 13th?
So we're ending with Rosh Chodesh. Shavuot is now.
What day? June 13th?
June 13th.
That's Tamara's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a really good cashews.
It's Annette's birthday, and this is the year that her English birthday and her Hebrew birthday
are.
Okay.
Okay.